Acts is from what the power of God has done. We're going to be looking at Acts 19, verses 21 through 41 today. And we're going to realize that the power of God arouses the enemy, guys. I don't know if you know this or not, but as soon as the power of God starts to work in a person's life, it's like all of a sudden the enemy wakes up, which he was already awake anyways, I know that. But it's almost like he wakes up to the fact that he's about to lose some ground and he starts to kick a fuss. It happens in individuals' lives. You know, whenever you decide you're going to step out and follow Jesus in a bold way, first time for salvation, and then at other times because of the calling he has on your life, Satan is going to try to buffalo you into backing off. And he's going to bring all kinds of attacks against us, and he'll even bring them against people we love or whatever. I want you to know Satan is bad all the time. Do I get an amen to that?
Yeah.
Satan is bad to the core. To the very core of who he is. He is totally evil. He never wants your good. I want you to understand that. Now, he'll lie to you. He will try to deceive you, and so do his demons. And I don't know how many demons there are, but there's a bunch, because a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. Now, whenever we see in the book of Revelation, and we see the angels in heaven, it's talking about myriads that can't even be counted. So a third of who was originally in heaven must be a pretty large number. And so now, what I'm thinking from all of this is that as soon as the power of God starts to move, Satan knows he can't stop God. Do I get an amen to that?
Yeah.
Come on, I need a better amen to that one. Yeah. Satan can't stop God. God is all powerful.
Yeah.
And so what Satan tries to do is he tries to get out in front of what God's doing. He tries to discourage God's people. If he can get God's people to be discouraged and he can get God's people to just step off to the side and be silent and do nothing, and then he can stop the witness of God to other people in that way. And so he tries to deceive us and buffalo us into not even showing up to the battle. Can you ever think of a time that you just didn't show up because, you know, maybe you'd heard an inaccurate report of what was going to happen if you showed up, okay? A lot of times people do this with elections. They hear somebody else is going to win, so they don't even bother showing up to cast their vote. Well, guess what? By default, you just helped the other guy win because you didn't show up to vote against that person, to vote for the other person, okay? So by default, it's called a self-fulfilled prophecy, okay? And so that's what Satan does. Okay, how about like if you hear it's going to rain and so you don't go to the picnic? You miss out on a picnic, it doesn't rain. How many times is the weatherman really right? And what's so funny is we try to plan our lives by everything that weatherman says. And yet so often, he's not right. I mean, like if he's right a little over 50% of the time, he's doing pretty good. He gets to keep his job. And yet, we put so much stock on what that weatherman says. And so, I think a lot of times, God is desiring to do something through His people, but His people listen to the lies of Satan, and they just don't even bother showing up. And that's what we've got happening in our world today, guys. What we see here in these verses of Scripture today, I really think is like a snapshot of the epic battle over souls. It's happening right now. And I dare say it's happening right now in our nation. Did you guys know that in our state, there was some wonderful legislation that was passed that protects life after 8 weeks of conception? Did you know that in Alabama, they made it against the law to get an abortion at all from conception up? Now, we as the church say amen, right? Amen! Well, did you know at the exact same time, you cross the river into Illinois, and they passed some of the most radical abortion legislation to protect abortion in their nation. They actually did it in the dark of night. They sneaked it through their House of Representatives because they knew they didn't have the votes in the daytime. And do you know that in their legislation, they protect the right to abort all the way through 40 weeks, all the way through the birth process. So you've got this battle that's happening, And do you know, as we cheer and say, thank God we want Roe versus Wade being completely overturned. Do I get an amen out of you? Yes. As we say amen, Satan is on the other side inciting all kinds of anger and vitriol and violence. And he's saying to some of us, don't even bother trying because you'll never see it happen. And you know, a lot of people are just backing off from the battle, not even praying about it, not showing up at all in this spiritual battle because we're thinking it'll probably never happen anyways and we don't want to be disappointed. Don't listen to his lies. God loves life, and I believe God wants to protect every human life. We need to pray that God would continue to push this forward. Is the other side going to be mad whenever it happens? Oh, yeah. But I'll tell you what, when Satan's mad, I'm glad. Because you know what that means? It means he's losing ground. And all the people of God need to just come out and actually support what God is doing. Now, let's take a look at this, and you're going to see the parallels, I think, as we read through this. And so we're going to jump forward, chapter 19 of the book of Acts, verse 21. When these things were accomplished, remember verse 20, the one before this, so the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. When the word of the Lord is growing mightily and prevailing, Satan wakes up, because that means he's losing ground. As we continue to read on, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered with him, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a time. And at that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. You notice in your Bible, if you're reading the same version as me, the way, the W is capitalized. Okay, it's talking about the way of following Jesus. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And so it was known of and his movement as the way. And so there was a big commotion about the way. You know what, guys? I also heard that Missouri passed some legislation so that the Bible will be taught as an elective course in Missouri again. What does the church say about that? I say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's going to raise some commotion about the way. Amen. The enemy's not just going to sit down and say, oh, well. Did y'all know that just this past week or so, or just this year, I guess back in April, that the Satanic Temple has been recognized as a valid religious organization in the United States? They get tax-free status now. Did y'all know that it was that overt? Do you know who sides with Planned Parenthood and sues the pro-life organizations? Literally, the Satanic Temple filed suit against Thrive St. Louis, along with Planned Parenthood, to try to uphold abortion. So you can see who's on what side. This thing is not cloaked. It's not being done in some mystery. Guys, anybody Satan is with, we need to be against, right? This thing ain't, it's so obvious. It's between light and dark. It's between good and evil. And we know that good wins in the end. We just need to stay close to him. So now there's a commotion about the way. We see that happening in our culture today. Verse 24, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned men away many people, saying that they are not gods which are made by hands. So, not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling into disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. Now, when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians! So the whole city was filled with confusion, and rushing into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, who were Paul's travel companions. And when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia, who were his friends, sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanting to make his defense to the people. But when they found out that he was a Jew, all with one voice cried out for about 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Let me just ask you, is Diana truly a real god or a goddess? Is she really a goddess? I mean, is she for real? Is she like living in some place in heaven somewhere, ruling part of the earth, ruling part of the universe? Okay. Absolutely not. You're right. She's not even for real, and yet all these people chant for over 2 hours on her behalf. She's a counterfeit god is what it is. And guys, I'm going to tell you, in our world, you're either worshiping the one true God or you're worshiping a counterfeit God, because everybody's worshiping something. And that's what we got going on right here. They just want to worship something, and this Paul keeps getting in the way, because he's speaking the truth and people are getting saved and it's changing their lives and it's threatening their very existence. And I want you to know that as God marches forward in the United States of America and he starts doing some amazing things in the United States of America, the enemy's going to get upset, because it's going to change everything, guys, and he knows it. He's had this country under his sway for a long time. Ever since the sexual revolution finally took hold, he's tried to help it take hold many times, but he finally got it to really take hold at the end of the 1960s. And I'm going to tell you something. Our country has been on a major decline ever since. We think we got freedom, but I can tell you something. What we've got is bondage. And as we continue in this bondage, people are going to continue to fall into the funnel and they're going to continue to die. Do you know our birth rate has finally gotten to the lowest point we've ever seen? We now no longer can even sustain our numbers in this country. People talk about immigration. We need legal immigration in our country, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. We're beginning to decline. We're beginning to get to the point that we can't sustain ourselves anymore. So the sexual revolution is something that the devil brought into this country to destroy this nation. And I'll tell you why. Because this nation was founded on godly principles. God is the one who blessed this nation to be. God is the one that our founding fathers looked to. And I'm just going to tell you, it's just like right here. We got the other side screaming right now. They're saying all kinds of things, but in essence, they're saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." They may as well be saying those actual words, because I'm going to tell you, anything but the living God, the true God, the God of this Bible, is a counterfeit. And they will never satisfy. They cannot sustain. They cannot bless. They only want to destroy, because they are demonic counterfeits, folks. And so as we look here, guys, we see that this Alexander steps up there to talk. They don't even want to hear what he's got to say, because they heard that he's a Jew. You know, when you step up and say, "I'm a Christian," it's a whole segment of society that tunes you out almost immediately. But so be it, because we serve the true living God. Our God is powerful. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, verse 35, he said, "Men of Ephesus, what man is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus?" Guys, is Zeus real? Not a chance. He's a demonic counterfeit. So what actually fell down? You see, in their religion, this worship of Diana, they worship meteorites. It was a typical thing. Whenever they saw a falling star, as we would call it, they thought that was Diana speaking to them. So apparently a meteorite fell right there close to where this place is, and they built this whole shrine on this great witness from Zeus. You see, to them, that became what they worshipped. Now in verse 36, therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly, for you have brought these men here who are neither robbers or temples, nor blasphemers of your goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. Okay, now this man is speaking on the behalf of leadership. He's saying, guys, if we don't cut it out, the Romans are going to come in and bust us up. So we need to, I don't know how you're going to settle all this, and I ain't really taking a side, but what I'm saying is this riot thing's got to stop. That's all he's saying. And so he goes on in verse 40, for we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we may give to account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Let's break this down a little bit. Follow along. We can kind of roll through this pretty quick. You've got your sermon notes in your bulletin, and if you didn't get those, just watch the screen. When God moves, the enemy loses territory. Do I get an amen? Whenever God's doing something, the enemy loses some of that territory. Whenever God saved John Jones, he lost John Jones. I no longer belong to Satan anymore. Do you know you either belong to Satan or you belong to God? There ain't nothing in between. And we don't like to think about that, but you see, Jesus actually said you can't serve two masters. He said, you're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to hate the one and love the other, but you can't serve both God and mammon. He actually kind of boiled it down for us. Do you know that the love of unrighteous money, unrighteous riches is what mammon is kin to the devil. You see, what were these guys upset about? It was messing with their money. That's what it boiled down to. It was messing with them. Do you know what the abortionists are so upset about? They don't care about your freedom, folks. And they sure ain't trying to help nobody. They care about the money they're going to lose. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and they don't want to lose another penny. That's what it's really all about. You see, whenever God moves, the enemy loses territory. And if you back up just a few more verses before we read this section today, we realize that whenever people started getting saved, even the magicians brought their books and burned them. Y'all remember that from last week? And it counted out to as much money as equaling 50,000 pieces of silver. And I said I wasn't going to talk about how much that was really worth last week because I planned on talking about it this week. 50,000 pieces of silver. A piece of silver was a day's wage. That was 50,000 days' wages. How many years is that? Somebody want to do some math for me? Guys, it was a whole lot of money. 150 years, give or take? Okay, so if you worked most of the days of the year, 333 days, you know, you had how many five-day weeks there, and you divide that, it'd be like 150 years of you working is how much those books cost. We're talking about a lot of money here, guys. And I'm just going to tell you, whenever God moves, the enemy loses territory. Amen? Here's the deal, guys. All of a sudden, the devil wakes up. He's like this one who's kind of sleeping over, lurking in the corner. He's quiet. And then all of a sudden, the devil wakes up. Daniel? The devil wakes up. Acts 19, verse 23. And about that time, there arose a great commotion about the way. Who was it who decided to cause all this commotion? The devil. He said, guys, do you see what's happening? You're losing a lot of money. Especially when you mess with his followers' money. That's really what it's all about. Because here's the deal, guys. You know what? The only hope that lost people have in this world is this world and the things they can get in this world. Yeah, you ask somebody who don't believe in God, what happens after you die? They're like, well, I don't really know. So since they don't really know, their only hope is what they can get right here. And the only thing that you can really get right here that's going to help you out is money. right? They don't really care about relationships that much. They just want more money. I mean, anybody that's really being inspired by Satan. So the only hope that lost people have, that next slide, is what they can have in this world. So here's the deal. Guys, if we really look at how this whole thing works out in the Scripture, we realize that Satan, first of all, rules through deception. He had deceived those people. He had deceived them to the point that they really believed that maybe there was some power in these false gods, right? At least it was helping them make money. He says that you see in here that not only at Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they are not gods, which are made by hands. So I just asked you guys a couple times. So is Diana a real god? Does she live somewhere and actually rule anything? No. Okay, how about Zeus? Is he a real god? Does he live in some abode that we would call heaven and rule over anything? No. But yet, there's all of these little miniature figurines that are made about them. So, somebody made those. Were those real gods? No. So, Paul was actually telling them the truth. And they're all mad about it. You know, sometimes whenever you tell the truth, people are going to get mad. Do you know why? Because Satan is deceiving them. So does that mean we should just shut up and sit down and not say anymore because somebody got upset? If we do, they're going to stay deceived. And you know where deceived people who don't know Jesus go for all of eternity? A place called hell. And it's hot. And it's destroying. It's total destruction forever and ever, guys. That ain't no place that any of us want to see anybody end up at. So we've got to continue to be bold. You see, Satan rules through that deception. That's the only strength he's really got, is to deceive. And Satan also rules through culture. We look at verse 27. So not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling in disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed. Oh dear, how terrible. A false goddess who everybody's in the sway of, who's doing bad things to worship her. You know, wouldn't that just be a horrible thing if she was just ever forgotten? But you see, this next phrase really gets me. You see, Satan rules through culture. He's got the culture deceived because it says, whom all Asia and the world worship. Well, guys, you're in the world. Do you worship Diana? I sure hope not. Okay. But you see, there was a whole culture that did. So we've got to make sure we follow the truth and not the culture. What's the culture telling you about gender these days, folks? What's the culture telling you about gender? Make your own, decide it for yourself. Don't put it on the birth certificate because we want to give them a chance to decide. Guys, here's what I know about gender, and I'm just going to tell you, it is a solid fact, straight from God's Word. God made them male and female. It is binary, and it's decided whenever you are created, right down to your very core of your DNA. Yep. You can't change it. You may want to. You may even be really confused, and you may not be sure, but I'm going to tell you, you can't change it. God decided it, and it's one or the other. Now, there are birth defects, and in every crowd, somebody will bring this up, and it's like point such and such, such and such, such and such part of the time where a person has a birth defect like other birth defects where it exhibits a little bit of characteristics of the other gender. Sometimes even can be quite a bit, but there still is one gender that shows up in their DNA, one that dominates. What I'm telling you is ultimately, guys, God has created male and female. How many genders does the culture now say there are? It all depends on how you're feeling. One, in one college, they said 30. In another college now, they're just really getting outlandish, and they're saying 69. They don't even want to give you definitions of them. They want to keep you in the dark, but they just want you to go along with it. And I'm just going to tell you, folks, I'm sorry. They can kill me if they want. They can even put me in jail if they'd like. I can't go along with it because God's Word says it's male or female. And they're trying to find all kinds of new pronouns for us to use and everything else. And Guys, I don't know how I'm going to navigate in this new world that we're living in, but I am not going along with culture on this one. How about marriage? I'm going to keep rolling here until they just go ahead and come and lock me up. Guys, marriage is between one man and one woman. God decided that. And He really means for it to be for a lifetime, but we live in an imperfect world, so sometimes it don't work out that way. But God didn't change. It's one man and one woman. God meant it. He still means it today. It's forever. You see, as long as we have an earth, I guess I shouldn't say forever, because in heaven we won't be married anymore. Some of you might go, no. It is a lot of responsibility trying to work this thing out, right? But we'll be even better than married in heaven. We're going to be closer than what we are here. But you see, guys, no matter how difficult it is, it's worth it to stand with God on this thing. All right? One man, one woman. The culture says otherwise. But you see, Satan's ruling through the culture. You remember, Jesus actually said the prince of this world. Do you remember He said that? He used that. He went in and gave Him that title. He said the prince of this world. Right? Satan's got some sway in this world. What's going to happen to him at the end, though? Anybody want to tell me? There's a little place called the Lake of Fire. Yep. He's going to be one of the first ones thrown in. But I got some bad news for you. Everybody that follows him is going there too. You see, we need to make sure that we distinguish this. Stop letting the culture rule the world. The church should be ruling through truth. We need to use God's word properly. You see, Satan rules through culture, but God's word rules through truth. He rules through his people. And then the next one is Satan and those under his sway will not listen to God's people. Y'all get an amen to that? You say, I'm a Christian. A lot of people tune you out of it immediately, but don't worry about that. You're still standing for truth. You know, if we look at this, the one guy, Alexander, stood up and it says, as soon as they knew he was a Jew, what'd they do? They started screaming. They started trying to scream louder than what he could talk. They tried to drown him out. How long did they scream? Anybody tell me? 2 full hours. Guys, I'm going to tell you, if you want a chance to speak, you're going to have to be patient. But here's what Dr. Fabian told us about raising kids or an angry person. They can't scream forever. So if you'll just be patient, you'll get your chance to talk. You know, have you ever seen an angry person? An angry person that's really blowing off and really getting upset and man, they're railing. Have you ever been that angry person? I don't know. But I'm just saying, it happens. How long do they usually rail for? Apparently, Dr. Fabian's got some experience with this because he actually said he's timed it and not more than 20 minutes. So now this group incited one another and they were able to do it for 2 hours. We can survive for 2 hours. Just keep your mouth shut for 2 hours, but you'll get your chance to speak. And when you do, you make sure you make it count. Speak from God's word. Satan also rules through mass chaos and anger. Anybody remember seeing what happened in Ferguson? We got a gentleman here that practically lived there. He still attends a church up there from time to time that he came from. And I'm going to tell you, most of those people that joined that crowd in Ferguson didn't even know why they were there. They just saw an opportunity to get in on a bunch of nonsense. You know, they said it was all about us white folk and that they were really upset because we've oppressed people like, you know, Michael Brown and stuff. And I'm not going to get into the big debate. But what I'm going to tell you is I saw they destroyed black people's stuff too. They just started randomly destroying and looting and taking things away. And guys, it ain't about a race. It's about an attitude and it's about mob violence. And you know who gets in the mob? Satan. He gets right in the center of that, and he just keeps inciting violence, and that's exactly what happened here, and that's exactly what's continuing to happen now. You know, I've been reading some of the different stuff, like after Franklin Graham says something. Have you ever noticed, you know, you read it on the internet, how many of you guys look on the internet from time to time, and you see what somebody said? You see what Franklin Graham says, and then you'll see the comment line? If you read the comments, I guess I'm just really curious, and I'll read the comments sometimes. There are some people hate Franklin Graham so bad. They call him, you know, a coward and a hypocrite and all this stuff. Guys, I'm going to tell you, Franklin's a godly man. He loves the Lord. He stands for the Lord. How about Mike Pence? You know? I mean, I can tell you, you may not agree with his politics, but I'll tell you what, that man has been a godly man as long as I've known about him. Yep. And so you may not agree with all of his decisions about things, but I see how people hate him. And I all I'm telling you is it's right here what we see in the Scripture. All that hatred is coming from a mob violence attitude. And they just continue on, and that's how Satan continues to rule. In fact, whenever we see that, man, I mean, they're just all in one accord, and all this stuff's going down. You see, Satan will not fight lawfully either, guys. He'd rather wait, ambush later. He'll rule through threats and violence and fear. We call it terrorism. Do we see any terrorism in the world today? You know, there's terrorism going on. And I can tell you, no true Christian ever commits acts of terrorism because of what Jesus said, because Jesus never advocated it in any way, shape, or form. But you see, those who are led by Satan will try to do that, and whenever they get a chance to fight lawfully, they won't do it. They ambush later on. In fact, they were given a chance here to bring charges. Do you notice what they did? They all just got quiet and left. You see, when you ask them to base it on fact, they can't do it. How about the whole abortion debate? They keep talking about the women's rights. They keep talking about all of this and forcing pregnancy and all of this. Guys, here's really what it boils down to. It's not about the woman. It's about the child who is growing in that woman. That is an independent life. That child's DNA is never the same as the mother's. It never touches the mother's. It's very dependent in that it needs life support. Just like a person who's in a hospital who's needing help. Is that a person? Absolutely. So is that person that's growing inside that woman. And you know what the enemy's going to try to do? Doesn't want to fight fair. It's just going to keep trying to distract away from that person. Distract away from that person. You see, that's how he fights. He ain't going to fight fair. Whenever he has to, he'll just leave and come back and try to ambush you in another way. And that's what's happening right now. Guys, here's a real-time comparison to today. You got life right there on the front line of the battle. You got marriage right there on the front line of the battle. You got gender battle right there. We're on that front. You see, Jesus told us, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But here's the deal, church. Brothers and sisters, beloved, be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome. We just need to stand with Him. We just need to stay with Him. We need to stay the course. We need to remember He's the one making the rules around here. He owns it. And if we'll stick with Him, I can tell you guys, we're going to see a great movement of God. The enemy ain't going to be happy about it. He ain't going to give up easy. But just like Brother Chuck always says, he's just going to have to get used to it. Because you see, in the end, he goes in a lake of fire. John 14, verses 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Stand fast, guys, because help is on the way. Don't forget, help is on the way. In fact, one more verse, in verse 18, he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, Jesus is coming again. He already sent the Holy Spirit to live in us. We've got the power that we need to stand. Here's the deal, guys. What we need to see this is the most exciting time that I can ever see in history. Things have gotten further from God and further from God, but things are starting to culminate and it's starting to open up opportunities for the gospel to be preached to great groups of people. Do you all notice that in verse 30, Paul just wants to get back into that theater? You know why? Everybody else saw the violence and the danger going on. They were all freaking out and thinking, man, this is a dangerous situation. And Paul's saying, let me in there because this is a chance to preach. He's saying, look at all those people. I could preach the gospel in there. Guys, you are the ones who carry the gospel. There's a lost generation that's out there, and if we don't win them, first of all, they're going to go to hell. Second of all, they're going to ruin your little world. What you need to do is just stay right with God and see every opportunity as an opportunity to preach the gospel in love. Do we love the folks that are confused? Oh, I hope so. I hope you do, because Jesus does. He wants to save them from it, and He wants to use you and me to bring them the message. But we can't do that if we just fall in with the culture. Have you surrendered to Jesus? That's my question today. Is Jesus your king? If He's your king, this is your time. God's priming the world right now for the greatest opportunity, for the greatest awakening and revival that we've ever seen. People are lost and they're confused and they're getting angry and they don't know why, and they're going to wake up. And let's be there to point them to Jesus. Amen? But you got to be right with Jesus first. Make sure your heart's right with Jesus. We're going to have a time of invitation here, and we're going to sing one final song. And during that time, I want you to make sure your heart's right with Jesus. Are you confessed up with your sin? Have you confessed every known sin in your life? Have you gotten yourself in a place where you have made room for Jesus to rule and reign? Let me pray for you. Dear Father, thank you that you saw us, Lord, in our helpless estate, and you sent Jesus to die for our sin. You've already conquered the power of sin, the power of Satan. Lord, we're living here and he's still got some limited reign, and he kicks a fuss. He really can't make us do anything. He really can't make anybody do anything. But it's through his deception that he has a lot of the culture under his sway. And just because, even if they become the majority, it doesn't mean they're right. Just like in this story here, it says the whole world was worshiping Diana. She's still not a god or a goddess. She's a fake, a counterfeit, a phony, demonic. And so are all these gods and goddesses people are worshiping today. Only you are the true living God. Only Jesus saves, and only you can heal our nation. Only you. And you're going to use your people to do it right now. So help us to be counted among the number. If there's anybody here that hasn't surrendered their heart to Jesus, and they desire to repent of their sin and call on you to be their king, I pray today would be the day. May you move, may you bless this invitation time today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all